Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the campsite, another episode of the Wolverine Patrol. We're chilling. We're drinking High Life. It's a Wednesday night. I'm drinking High Life. It's a Wednesday night. Cheers. Welcome back, everybody. So we had talked about only doing an episode a week, but sometimes political news, it just happens.
Yeah.
And we're a political podcast, so we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
All very important. So when we heard the news yesterday that Kamala Harris was the nominee for the Democratic Party for vice president, Ron had the idea that we should do a live stream on his Twitch and then record it as a bonus episode. So we hope you like it. And that's really all that's on the docket today. We don't think it'll be a super, super long episode, but we'll see. So let's just start off, everybody. Let's go around here and get everybody's reaction to this. Like, were you shocked? Did you see it coming? How do you feel about it? I'm going to guess no one's going to say awesome, but, what do you guys think?
Not great. I think it's not surprising by any stretch of the imagination that he would pick her, given everything that's happened so far. But at the same time, it just feels like a real stupid move given the recent events that have happened this summer.
I think it's just the epitome of the Democratic Party for the nation to have a national kind of like uprising of like, hey, I don't know about cops. And then they're like, well, here's a cop. I mean, it's just the epitome of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but they can say, oh, she was never a police officer. She was a lawyer.
You know?
She was a prosecutor. Yeah.
Prosecutor, right.
Right.
Cop label is something that the left is putting on her to try and slander her because they want Trump to win.
Oh, man.
It's coming soon to a CNN near you.
Is that the tea? Is that tea? Are we spilling hot tea?
Jesus Christ.
Man.
I don't know. I actually, I was talking about this. This was a couple months ago back when Sanders conceded the nomination. My mother-in-law is actually a Democrat voter, and she's pretty active. And likes to talk about Democrat politics. And she and I were discussing who we thought was going to be his VP pick. And I told her that I thought it was going to be Kamala Harris. And I'm really looking forward to the next time that I see her where I can just rub it right in her face. Because she said that it was going to be Stacey Abrams. And I was like, no. Be Stacey Abrams.
No, I never thought it was going to be Stacey Abrams. I know that was a big speculation for a long time. But she just doesn't have, I mean, she was in a very close Senate race, which I guess was a thing, but she just doesn't have the national profile, I think, to pull that off or to really pull the kind of folks that the Democratic Party thinks they need to win. I think we talked on the last episode about the fact that that certainly is not really actually who we think they need to win. And it's actually the shittiest people in the world. But no, Stacey Abrams wasn't for that base, I don't think, no.
Mm-mm. I think it's the most, I think it makes the absolute most sense. It doesn't surprise me at all. I kind of knew in my heart of hearts, oh, Jack, you're muted. Jack,
you knew in your heart of hearts that Jack was muted.
Yeah, I knew in my heart of hearts that Jack was muted. No, I kind of knew this whole time.
It was too hot. It cut the mic.
Yeah. No, I knew it though. I knew the whole time that this is honestly what was going to happen. I really do, in the back of my head. Because it's literally the most obvious choice.
And right,
if there's anything the Democrats are going to do, it's the most obvious fucking just.
I guess. I don't know. I guess I was foolish and stupid in thinking that might have been a bridge too far in the middle of all of this. I figured they'd find somebody, probably a woman of color, somebody who's a super fucking centrist to right wing. I figured they'd find somebody to fit that bill, but I just was like, no. God, in the middle of this giant uprising against police, they're going to pick the person we were calling Cop Mala, not even a year ago. Like, the whole internet and all the progressive sites were like, nope, uh-uh. And every, progressive group was kind of like,
Yeah.
But they don't care about the progressive.
I think, what Kamala brings to the ticket is the fact that she
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Jack?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jack, no.
Or whatever the
title is. Everybody F in the chat, F in the chat.
Everybody F in the chat for Jack. Salutes.
It's been a long.
No, and you know what's the craziest thing about this? I will say that hopefully Jack joined us again soon and gets that figured out. I think it's there's no way that you're excited for this ticket. The people who are acting excited for this ticket, either A, are lying. They're just fucking, you're lying to everybody. Or B, you're an insane person. And there's no in between. I'm sorry, there's no logical person that is excited for this ticket.
Oh man, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I think there's people who are cynical enough that like they see the good it can do in like service of like whatever their personal agenda is. And I think there are people who just for whatever reason, you know, maybe they don't know about like Kamala Harris's past. They just don't follow politics that much. I could see somebody just like seeing this and being like, oh yeah, that's nice or whatever. But yeah, I don't think like the kind of people who are genuinely like thrilled that this is happening are absolute glowing eyed psychopaths. I'm sorry. Like, Jack, you had a point. Are you back with us here?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, we can hear you.
So what were you saying, Jack?
So I think that what Kamala Harris brings to the ticket for the Democrats is the ability for them to point to all of the like consumer protection judgments that she won as California AG and say, oh, look, Kamala Harris is tough on corporations. You know, if you look at her Wikipedia page, there's this big long section of it that's just like, Kamala Harris won this judgment, and she won this judgment, and she won this judgment. Obviously, other prosecutors in her office won those judgments, and she got the credit for it as AG. But I think that she brings that to the ticket. They'll be able to kind of put up a little bit of a veneer of being sort of anti-corporate, which is the general cultural zeitgeist right now, when they actually have no intention of challenging corporate power at all.
Absolutely, absolutely. John, do you have anything to add?
I've been seeing a lot of people love React and everything with it, and I just scroll past it and it's like every single time. I think it, like you were saying earlier, these are people that probably don't really know about her past and, you know, everything that she's, you know, done that really actively hurt what's going to make up a lot of her voting base.
Yeah.
And then one of the shittiest takes I've seen was what George Takei had posted about it yesterday. I'm sure everybody's seen it because it's been shared everywhere. And he's just like, oh, this is fantastic. This is great news. This is going to help us. And I thought it was kind of ironic because this is somebody who was, you know, literally imprisoned in a, camp as a kid during World War II, and you know, he's voting for somebody who would essentially want to do the same thing and support the same types of policies that makes that kind of stuff happen.
Right, the prison industrial complex and, you know, very intense foreign policy and domestic policies. I think that was actually a great segue, John. Can you guys still hear me okay?
Yeah, you're sounding
good. Okay, cool. That's actually a great segue into it. Just a few quotes here and just a few outlines. If you guys want to react to this and jump in accordingly, feel free. I've looked up several articles today about Kamala, just things I remember reading over like the last year, year and a half. And one that's actually quite good, though, is Jacobin's article called The Two Faces of Kamala Harris. And it's about, you know, some of the few good things she did and like kind of how people see her, but then also like what the reality of her kind of policies have been historically. And, we talk about, you know, people have been, you know, talking a lot about, you know, people going to prison for weed, you know, or whatever. And then she's talking about she smoked weed or like being a cop and like what she did for police officers. But I was actually shocked to reread this article, and I want to read this quote here about when she was a district attorney. So, like, one of the probably the first elected office she ever held when she was, you know, a district attorney in the state of California. And it said, Harris's commitment to harsh punitive measures wasn't limited to the three strikes law, which she was a supporter of, by the way. a law that affects, I believe, black people at a rate 12 times that of white people. Like, quite a shocking difference. For all her recent concern about incarceration of women and its economic effects, as district attorney, she successfully championed a statewide version of an anti-truancy law that she had put in place in San Francisco that threatened parents of chronically truant children with as much as a $2,000 fine and a year in jail. By October 2012, two mothers were imprisoned under the law. So yeah, this is when she was, a district attorney, when she had, worked in San Francisco and then become a district attorney. She championed a law that, like so many of these sorts of laws, really disproportionately harmed black people. And it was seen as kind of like this, oh, she's going to be tough on truancy, but like so many things, being tough on truancy doesn't really count for shit if you're not actually addressing why truancy happens in the first place, right?
Right. You know who else? You know who's a huge Kamala fanboy? Is Greg Proops from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
God.
So if you needed any other reason to just fucking hate improv to your core, just go to his Twitter for 2 seconds.
I'm sorry, did you mean Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace bit part actor Greg Proops?
Is Greg Proops in The Phantom Menace?
Yes, he is the one of the two heads of the pod racing commentator.
No, oh my god.
He was also he played several bit parts in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Really?
Yeah, and then somewhere along the line, I don't know, he went down the the left-handed path into improv, I guess. So shame, really.
Damn.
Damn shame, really. But yeah, I mean, like, we're talking about just like, now this might be like a spicy take or whatever, but like, seriously, like if I could like pass any law right now in the world, like I pretty high on the top of that list would be a law saying that like once you're a prosecutor or a district attorney or an attorney general of a state, you can no longer seek public office. And like, I know that sounds insane in concept, but like, my God, these people, they come in here, they're there to climb the ladder. They realize the easiest way to do that is just to appeal to the most repulsive parts of whatever base. And they just decide they're going to be tough on crime. Yeah. And what does tough on crime really fucking mean in the United States of America, folks? What does it mean?
Black people.
Yeah, fuck with black people, fuck with queer people, fuck with disabled people, fuck with anybody who doesn't fit into whatever the acceptable cultural narrative is.
That's really it. I mean, there's like, I remember like old New York, like retired NYPD officers talking shit about like, they're like, yeah, we'd have quotas to fill. And you'd be like, you have to hit this many. And it's like, and when you do it, you would go to the black, Hispanic, gay communities, all these things, these communities that especially at the time didn't have anybody from those communities in positions of power. So like, if you went to like communities that did, they have people that they can bicker to and that they can cause a stink and be like, what's going on? Stop fucking with us. But like, I mean, them like blatantly admitting that they did that. I mean, that, and that's essentially what you were saying. That's what tough on crime comes down to, more or less.
Yeah, it comes down to putting bodies in prison. It comes down to writing those tickets, getting those fines, so you can have this tremendously large police budget. That's the whole point.
And then that's how we get to Kamala,
absolutely. Yeah. Jack, are you still there? Yeah,
I'm here.
All right.
I think I'm here.
It keeps saying Jack's, Jay Sauer's bandwidth is low.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Please donate your bones so we can get Jack more bandwidth.
Please donate your bands. Give up on local music and give Jack your bandwidth.
Yeah. I'm starting to GoFundMe to get him an Ethernet cable.
It's actually not a bad idea.
I have it hooked up to an Ethernet cable every time I stream.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I should probably do that.
Yeah. But yes, Kamala. So here is a bigger question as we're kind of hitting the halfway mark with this. So what does this bode for the election? Does this have any effect on the election either way? And if so, what is that effect in your guys' opinion?
You can go ahead, John.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I think there's two big parts to that. I think what we saw already with how Biden's primary results turned out, I think that's going to be even more so. You're going to see a lot of the older Democrats want to continue to vote, you know, for Biden or Biden-Harris. A lot of the older Black folks too. And that's a big part of it. And that's, you know, kind of what he says, like, if you're not Black, if you don't vote for me. So, I think a lot of people are going to, it's a kind of the same effect that, you know, Obama had. You know, they really want somebody in office that's going to represent them. And I totally get that. And Biden's just kind of riding on that tailcoat just because he was with them, even more so now because he has a Black woman candidate with him. But that's going to drop a lot of the younger voters off. A lot of the younger Black voters aren't going to care, I don't think. Because, you know, a lot of them are still going to be a lot more well-informed about the issues nowadays. I mean, I've seen a lot of them just in the past 2 days post a lot of that on Facebook, like, fuck Kamala Harris. I don't care if she's Black. I don't care if she's a woman. She doesn't have my best interest at heart. So she's, you know, doing a lot more harm to Black people than she is to help them. So that's kind of where I'm at with that side of the coin. And then... I mean, that's probably just going to have kind of the same effect you saw as well with, I think, with Hillary in 2016, where, you know, the people who are moderate or undecided, independent, they're going to be, you know, turned off by going that way. So they're going to go right.
I think it's possible they'll go right. I think it's also possible they just won't show up in May.
Right. That too.
To answer your question, Ron, no, I don't think it's really going to have that much effect. I think it might alienate some people. I think it might draw some people in. But any which way, I think when you're talking about the base of people they're trying to attract, suburban, white, conservative voters, I just don't see a Black woman being... especially one who was, like, you know, just running for president in the Democratic Party.
Swaying any conservative voters.
Yeah, I don't see it swaying anybody. Exactly. Like, I think at the end of the day, the people it alienates, the people it brings in, the people it kind of, whatever. I think it's a wash. I really do. But I guess only time will tell.
Hold up. Manning in 95 in the Twitch chat wants a fucking who yeah. So I'm going to give you a fucking who yeah. Can we give Manning 95 a fucking who yeah real quick, fellas?
Who yeah.
There we go.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like in that sense, like, I don't know. I'm not really terribly convinced it's going to matter in the end. But, you know, something I've been seeing a lot in the last couple of days, and I guess it really just depends on how much of an issue individuals either in media, be it independent media or mainstream or whatever, make of specifically like her marijuana policy. It's kind of very interesting that marijuana is entering the zeitgeist, like kind of the cultural discussion, in a way where like it is being framed as a racial issue, in that like Black people disproportionately are incarcerated for marijuana offenses. They're disproportionately charged in the first place. So it's really interesting that that's like really become like the way that's become a hot button issue. Like, that's what I always kind of, I think what like leftists have talked about, but like, I guess that was not something I ever expected I'd see in my lifetime. So I'd like to do a quote here real quick if I could. And it's from a article from Mercury News called Campaign Fact Check. And it's called, Here's How Kamala Harris Really Prosecuted Marijuana Cases. And it reads, she took office after defeating legendary liberal district attorney, Terrence Hollinan. So this is when she was a district attorney. And during her acrimonious campaign, she criticized his office for the low conviction rate and vowed to run a tighter ship. even though she mostly focused her rhetoric on violent crime. I think that tells us all we should need to know, right? Like, shit. Both candidates supported medical marijuana, which was already legal in California. Wow, tough, guys, tough stuff. Over Harris is 7 years as top prosecutor. Her attorneys won 1,956 misdemeanor and felony convictions for marijuana possession, cultivation, or sale, according to the data from the DA's office. This includes people who were convicted of marijuana offenses and more serious crimes at the same time. So, yeah, almost 2,000 marijuana convictions when she was a district attorney. Well, again,
I think you can point out her having the audacity to, like, do that, pull that shit, and then go on The Breakfast Club and be like, yeah, I smoked weed, tee-hee, and it's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, what makes you think that, like, because I think at the end of the day, like, it was a different ballgame in 2020, and I don't think anybody realized it at the beginning. You can't just go on morning radio and be cutesy and, like, not get, like, blowback for it if you say something that's, like, fucked up in the context of your record.
Yeah.
Like, really crazy. I think that we are, like, and, like, I'd love your guys' thoughts on this. We are seeing, at least, like, in the last couple election cycles, a situation where, like, people's records are negatively affecting them, at least in primaries, but not always, but, like, more frequently than they ever were before. And, like, yeah, there was always, like, records affecting people. But that was normally, like, oh, you make people mad if you were against the Vietnam War. So it was always reactionary shit.
Yeah.
And now it seems like even, like, doing fucked up things, like, and the progressives can criticize you and tank your campaigns. What do you guys think of that?
In terms of what, progressives tanking them, having their campaign tanked?
No, I mean, like, progressives can tank people's campaigns now. They can make stinks out of things like marijuana convictions.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's happening now? And, like, is that going to continue to be a pattern going forward, do you think?
Probably.
I don't think so.
Go ahead.
The 2020 election, I think, is shaping up to be a clash of identity politics, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that while the Democrats make a big show of kind of attacking each other's records in the primary races, like you said, when it comes down to it, Kamala Harris was picked because she is a woman of color, and because this, and make no mistake, Donald Trump's white supremacist politics are also identity politics.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And so the Democrats have chosen to meet on that battlefield, right? And they think that they can do that by bringing in, for whatever reason, two coast-dwelling liberal elites, which is exactly what they get accused of being. And that's the identity, I think, that is going to matter to most of the people who voted for Trump. And I think that you're going to see that it's really easy because, like you said, marijuana was already legal in California when she was DA. And then all of her marijuana convictions got cleared in San Francisco by the current DA. That was news a couple years back where they cleared all those convictions out, right? So I think people are going to say that it's so easy to peg Kamala Harris as being, you know, soft on crime based on her marijuana policy or based on, like, her death penalty policy. Because that's what made Kamala Harris a big star, was that she told Dianne Feinstein to go fuck herself when Dianne Feinstein challenged her as AG to seek the death penalty against a cop killer, right? And she said, right, no, I won't seek the death penalty.
Yeah, I was reading
it. But she gave that by incarceration, by sending him to prison for the rest of his life with no parole. Like, just to be clear, death by incarceration is not the death penalty. It's right. Just, we're going to put you in a work camp for the rest of your life. And Kamala Harris frames that as being like, oh, I'm you know, a progressive prosecutor. When it comes down to it, it's going to be just the cities versus the rural areas, you know, the classic blue versus red clash of identity politics, because there are no issues at stake. Like we talked about in the last episode, the issues, like the actual policies of these two camps are basically identical. So they're hoping that they can slap a Kamala Harris sticker on it and get the stamp of approval from whoever they think that they need to get it from, which they won't.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's like really funny that you say all of this, because I think that that really speaks to, in a lot of ways, I think Kamala Harris, despite being, you know, awful and Joe Biden being awful, I think that it really, it's fascinating to me how well matched those two are for each other. In a lot of ways, Joe Biden is like the last of his kind, the old manager of empire who is going to do the old school thing and not bend on things despite public opinion changing. And he's going to manage capital and empire and all of these things the way he always has. And you say like, oh, wow, Kamala Harris, like, was district attorney, did all these marijuana convictions, and now they're all overturned. Like, what, not even a decade later? So, like, in many ways, that means she had to be, like, the last or one of the last district attorneys to be doing shit like this. So, like, she was, like, the last of her kind. She was kind of the last manager of the old draconian way on that, which is exactly what Biden is when you really think about it. So I think it's very interesting that they, like, found each other in this way.
So, boys, we're on the home stretch here, so I think it would be best way to end this. Just round table, any final thoughts, any predictions, anything that this might do or not do, things like that. John, if you want to start.
Yeah, we've been talking over you, John. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. I didn't really have much to chime in right there. I've just been kind of nodding along and agreeing. But I think what you said right there, you know, that it's interesting that they're a match for each other just because they're both, you know, right-wing Democrats, which is a weird phrase to use. Definitely an oxymoron.
It's not, and that's what sucks.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. But what you were saying earlier about how she had beat out someone who was a liberal, and now she's running as a liberal, it's very interesting. And then same thing with Biden. I mean, unfortunately, they're a match made in hell, and I'm not a fan of it.
Love that. Jack, what's your closing thought?
My closing thought is that I think that anybody who was going to vote for Biden in the Black community probably already was going to do so. And I think that just like with Hillary and just like with Sarah Palin before her, there is not some mass of politically unengaged women out there who are suddenly going to turn up to vote simply because a woman is on the ticket. That strategy does not work. It failed on both sides of the aisle within the past two decades.
Yep.
And I think that Democrats are not going to get the effect out of that that they think that they are at all. But what they are going to do is lose the youth and the progressive vote because they've just totally given the middle finger to anybody who wants any kind of police reform.
Yeah.
Sure. Ron, what's your last thought?
I just think Biden's whole campaign, I think Biden's everything. I think the man literally operates off of a sense of, yeah, I know that guy. And that's all he has, like, to his name, is just a country that's like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. From Obama, yeah, I know that guy. And, I mean, Kamala, again, is just kind of along for the ride. And I think, I agree with you guys. I don't really think it's going to change much. I don't really think there's much. I think it's still kind of a coin toss. And I kind of saw this coming from a mile away, so more than business as usual, you know what I mean?
Right. I guess my final thought on the subject is pretty simple. To anybody out there who's like just so worried about Trump, and again, like I said last episode, I'm not going to sit here and be like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you to people who are going to vote for Biden because they just feel like they have genuinely no other choice. I mean, I'm not going to say you should do that, obviously, because I'm very critical of kind of electoral politics of this country and its effectiveness. But like, I'm not going to convince any of those people that like that's a bad idea, they shouldn't do it. So like, it's not even worth my time to make that argument.
Right.
What I am going to say to those people, though, is that the same thing rings true on the day after the election, no matter who wins, whether it's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris or Donald Trump and Mike Pence again. Guys, we cannot go backwards. We really can't. We cannot slide back into the kind of late empire neoliberal management bullshittery that got us Trump in the first place. Yeah. Because all that will do is lead to something way more horrifying after. The phrase I've heard a few times now, and I agree with it, is that the only way out is through, not back. So no matter who wins at this point in the game, no matter what happens, I hope that is everybody's spirit going forward, because it's all we've got, folks. Like, we've got to make – we're not going to get the change from the White House. We're not going to get it from Congress. We're going to get it in our communities. We're going to get it from each other, and we're going to get it from fighting on a lot of different fronts anywhere we can. So solidarity to everybody who's been fighting the battles, no matter who's been in the White House. And I love you people, and I hope that you will continue to fight and guide all the new kind of folks headed your way as that happens here, no matter who wins.
Oh, yeah.